started this morning. If again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. If anybody would like some, there's some. I'm trying to remember to bring them last week. There's some Overcomer Bible bookmarkers. So if anybody would like to have one, there's some extra ones over there. In 2017, if y'all remember, the medical doctor for the gymnastics team, U.S. gymnastics team, was accused of over 150 incidences of abusing the female athletes. Horrible, horrible, horrible situation. Court proceedings went on and on and on as not all the victims, but a lot of the victims read impact statements to the court. The words of these young females was heart-wrenching at best. And the last one was read on January 24th by a young gymnast named Rachel Dillenhonder. I don't remember her. I tried it, but I don't remember her. She was the first of the athletes to come forward and accuse the physician of sexual assault, Larry Nassar. So she wrote and read a 6,000-word statement directly to him. And she said this: "Throughout this process, I have clung to a quote by C.S. Lewis where he says, 'My argument against God, that was the universe, seems so cruel and unjust. But how do I get this idea of unjust? A man does not call a line crooked until he first has some idea of a straight line. When I was comparing the universe to when I called it unjust, Larry,' she said, 'I can call what you did evil and wicked because it was. I know it was evil and wicked because the straight line does exist. The straight line is not measured based on your perception or anyone else's perception. And this means I can speak the truth about my abuse without minimization or mitigation. I can call it evil because I know what goodness is. And this is why I pity you. When a person loses the ability to define good and evil, when they cannot define evil, they can no longer define and enjoy what is truly good.'" Wow. It was amazing.
Would you repeat that since I came in late?
I'll give you a wake-up call.
Give me a call.
What enables someone to overcome evil in that way? What is it? You know, you see a lot of these courtroom proceedings. I'm addicted to Dateline. I love to watch Dateline. And you see a lot of them when the victims read their impact statements at the sentencing of people that's committed, you know, heinous crimes. And occasionally you see someone who forgives the criminal. And you can see that they truly forgive that person. That's sometimes above my able of comprehension, I'll be honest with you, in some of these things I talk about. But what is it that helps a person overcome evil things that's happened to them? And I want to preface this by saying that we all have and do evil things. Now, evil, some people take evil, the word is a long way, but evil has a lot of different definitions. And when we talk about evil, we'll get into that here a little bit later on. So let's look at what Paul says first. Paul tells the Ephesians, and a lot of this references is the metaphors about the Roman soldiers' regalia that they wear into battle. And he says, he told them, "Put on the breastplate of righteousness." So we talked about what these breastplates are, and it protects the vital organs of it. So Paul used this breastplate as a literal or a figurative, protecting the spiritual heart of the Christians. Righteousness, defined by Merriam-Webster, says it acting in accord with divine or moral law, being free from guilt and sin, being morally right or justified, and a righteous decision. There's a lot of words in it. It is appropriating the righteousness of Jesus Christ, his moral perfection, sinless life, and obedience to the Father, and living righteously around us. So how do we overcome this evil that's really within us? So you know, if you ever heard somebody say, you know, I don't get back, I get even. I don't get mad, I get even, you know. And it's kind of doing something equally as bad to that person to have them suffer in essentially the same way you have to balance the scale of justice.
Or worse sometimes.
So you get to use self-control.
Hold that thought. Mm-hmm. We're going to come back to that.
You know, sometimes
we're going to come back to that.
Sometimes we don't do it. We think it or wish it. And that's just as bad.
Oh, it is. It is. It's whether it's of the heart or the hands, you know, it's the same type thing. So how do we overcome this? And when I say this, I'm going to lead up to just a scenario of this happening and what we're going towards. When we think about overcoming evil with good, we tend to focus on the evil outside of us. But as a Russian writer, Solinsky said, if only it were all so simple. If only we were evil people somewhere committing evil deeds and it was necessary to separate them from the rest of us and destroy them. But the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being. Jesus said, from within us, out of the heart of men, proceeding evil thoughts, adultery, fornications, murders, thefts, covetous, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come within and defile a man. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. No one understands. There was no one who seeks God. They all have turned aside. They have together unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not even one. One of the most dangerous thoughts a human being, even a Christian, can have, oh, I would never do something that evil. That thought reveals a sad naive about one's own heart and dangerous personality. So how do we overcome the evil within us? How do we get past these times? And I promise you, every person in this room, every one of y'all, I promise you, whether you want to admit it or not, at some point says, that person makes me so mad, I could just pinch their head off.
Talking about your spouse. Slow drivers.
You know,
in the left hand lane.
One thing Joe Remalt and I have in common is Joe is a very aggressive driver. He don't like people doing stuff like that.
Really?
Oh yeah. I told him one time me and him went somewhere and I said, you know what? Y'all ever seen that movie Men in Black? Mm-hmm. You know that little thing they got that they take away memories? I want to do that to people's driver's license. automatically put them on a bicycle. You know. Anyway, I digress. All right. So the bad news, we all have it inside of us. The good news is that Christ and his mercy overcame this for us, right? So the transaction at the cross is a wonderful truth. But listen to these words that Paul says about that. For God made Christ, who knew no sin, for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is what David Jeremiah says when he interprets that. He said, when Jesus died on the cross, he took our identity as a sinner. When we believe in him, we take on his identity as a righteous son of God. Thus, the transactional death, Jesus accomplished two critical things. First, he took our sin upon himself. He became sin for us. Second, when we put our trust in Jesus, he not only forgives our sin, he gives us the righteousness to us. We receive the righteousness the moment we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, repent of our sins, and ask forgiveness. All right? Now, I'll read one thing. This is a guy, Erwin Lutzer. He's a pastor that writes a lot of Christian stuff. So he said this to a congregation one day. He said, imagine a book entitled The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. It contains all the perfections of Christ, the works he did, his holy obedience, his purity, his righteousness, his motives. A beautiful book it would be. Now then, imagine another book. The Life and Times of, insert your name, Hal Malden. It contains all of your sins, your immoralities, broken promises, betrayal of friends, sinful thoughts, mixed motive, and acts of disobedience.
Choke out.
Big book. Yeah, like going to win. Finally, imagine Christ taking both books, stripping their covers off. Then he takes the contents of his own book, slips it between the covers of your book. We pick up the book to examine it. The title reads, The Life and Times of Hal Malden. We open the book and turn the pages and find no sins listed. All that we see is a long list of perfections, obedience, purity, perfect love. The book is so beautiful that even God would adore it.
That's beautiful.
Amazing one, Christ. It's good, isn't it? Having received the righteousness of Christ by faith, we can now put on his righteousness and practice. The kind of heart that can overcome. Okay, now then. So, the basis of us being able to overcome evil with good comes from our obedience and our acceptance as Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Everybody agree with that? Everybody agree with that? Okay. So now what? Now you're there. Now we've done that. Now you've done that. So does that mean?
But you've got to keep it up.
That's exactly right. So now then, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Does all of this opportunity to sin and all this evil just vanish away? Not in a heartbeat.
I think it gets worse.
Not in a heartbeat does it go away. It absolutely does not go away. All right? So now what do you do? What do you do when you do that? So where are we at with that? So how do we overcome the evil around us? The Bible gives us clear direction how we can do this, beginning with a central passage, and this is the passage that we do it. So if you want to, I would highly suggest you make a big mark in your Bible to this. It's Romans 12, 17 through 21. This one kind of hits the toes, right? Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, the Lord said. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
It's like the Beatitudes from Jesus,
Sermon
on the Mount.
Absolutely.
Same thing.
Absolutely. So now then, you're still there. So that you get the directions, the attitudes, this. You get the directions on what to do. So how is it that we can take this righteousness that Jesus makes available to us, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our knowledge of the Scriptures, how do we take that and deal with these things that come up in our everyday human life? How do we deal with that? So we're going to look at six things here this morning, all right? So in other words, one guy put this, I was reading, he says, you've done the prerequisite work, so to speak, and that's accepting Jesus Christ. Now that you've done it, what do you do when evil shows up at your doorstep? What do you do? How do you handle that? And these six things, these get tougher as we go on. So buckle your seatbelt. So this, it gets a little different. Paul wrote, repay no one with evil, for evil is evil. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, for as written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. All right? Have you ever noticed that the way we talk about getting revenge, right? You know, we get even. What the person who has done evil to us, you know, we talked about this earlier, in other words, whatever you do, don't let anybody get ahead of you in doing evil. Keep the scales perfectly balanced. Charles Swindoll tells about a preacher who refused to take revenge. He once said to a person who hurt him, "I'm not going to get even. I'm going to tell God on you." I thought that pretty good. So how did this? So, you know, how do we take and leave the vengeance to God? How do you turn evil or vengeance over? How do you
nail it to the cross?
You do.
In prayer.
You do. Absolutely.
It's such a simple answer, though, and such a hard thing.
It gets more difficult as we go on. So hold on. It's coming. All right. Nick Stafford of Cedar Bluff, Virginia, was upset when the county DMV office, because they wouldn't give him access to the direct phone lines. They would only let him do stuff online. So when it came time to pay the taxes on his two cars he purchased, which he didn't want to pay to begin with, Nick brought to their office five wheelbarrows loaded with 300,000 pennies to cover the assessment. He said, if they're going to get going to inconvenience me, then I was going to inconvenience them. Cincinnati Reds Cub outfielder Andre Dawson objected to a call by umpire Joe West one time. In the heated dispute that follows, Dawson bumped him with his chest, although he claimed it was an accident, right? He was ejected from the game and fined $1,000. When Dawson got his revenge by making it publicly known that on his check he sent to the Major League Baseball, he wrote donation for the blind.
Oh, that's
pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Bible tells us you shall not take revenge nor bear any grudge against your children of your people, but you shall love your neighbors yourself. I am the Lord. The verse that Christ quoted in Mark when he affirmed that love your neighbors yourself is the second greatest commandment of all scripture. But Christ corrected the distortion of Leviticus in the Sermon on the Mount by telling his listeners to love and pray for their enemies. In other words, leave vengeance and judgment to God. If we try to do God's work, we'll fail. Guaranteed. No doubt about it. That is something you can write and take home with you. If we try to do God's work, we'll fail. Miserably. Miserably. And I'm talking about what is left for God, not being, you know, working for God. I'm talking about trying to do what God, that we should leave to God. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, when he's on earth, had to turn thoughts of retaliation or even getting even over to God. Peter described it this way. He said, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judged righteously. Learn, leave things to God. Number two, learn to plan ahead. And the Romans 12:17 says, have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Greek word, y'all, how much love Greek? Greek word regard in this means to plan ahead. Oh, that was interesting. Because I think regard in how you feel about things, that's not what the Greek word. I don't understand how you get that translation to it, that translation. You know, each week, pray and strategize to overcome the evil you face. Paul told the Thessalonians, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for both yourself and for all. When it comes to evil, how we handle evil in our lives, most of us are reactive. That's right? You know, if somebody does something, you react to it. How can you become proactive? What do you do to be proactive? Pray, read your Bible, study the word.
Leave. Obedient.
Yeah, no one's immune to the daily irritation of life. Some situations of people just naturally bring out the worst in us. Amen. Yeah, maybe you can't stand that weight that follows. Your call is very important to us. Please hold on. A representative will be with you shortly. Maybe your blood boils as you dodge lane sweet weavers on the freeway. So we're often at our worst when dealing with such people in situations. In frustration, we blurt out, they do this to me every time, or she really gets under my skin. He makes me so mad. One guy wrote, he says, let me say first that no person, event, or thing can make you get upset or frustrated. I don't know about that. You're responsible for your reactions to difficult people in difficult situations. He said, that said, people in situations like this aren't going to go away anytime soon. So Paul challenges us to strategize on how we can do good even in the unpleasant circumstances. Our task is to learn how we can do better the next time we face similar events and people. That's the proactive part. And what's the old adage, you know, make a fool of me the first time, you know, you learn.
We got to crucify the beast.
Came on me or something like that.
Yeah, but the point is, you know, one of the human faults, in my opinion, and I'm just guilty of all this as anybody is being able to react to the same situation when it happens again and not react to it the way I did the first time. That's always tough.
It's a little practice, don't
it? Some things I get a lot of practice at. Number three, lean into the next right move. Whether we're planned for them or not, times of trial will come, and when they do, we must decide how to respond. For the Christian, no response is not an option. I thought that was an interesting thought. We cannot ignore, accept, or be passive in the face of evil. Paul tells Ephesians, he made it clear when we're to take action against evil. And, you know, you read a lot, or you hear people talking about Jesus as a passive person. I'm like, yeah, you know, Jesus got mad, but he got mad at the right things, right? He got mad at the temple, right? I mean, he pretty much wreaked havoc that day in the temple. So there's a right way and the wrong way to handle it. It's clear we need to take action against evil in a certain way. We equipped ourselves with the armor of God to stand up against evil so we can overcome it. It's also clear that we do not seek vengeance. Yeah. And we talk about that. But what then are we supposed to do? What is it we're supposed to do? As an overcomer, of course, we put our trust in Christ. When we doubt, ask him for help. Ask him through the Holy Spirit to show you how to do the next good, right thing. So I was thinking about that. And how many times when you get, and I'll use the word mad, you get mad or you get aggravated or whatever about something, to stop right then and ask God to guide you is huge. To me, that would be a huge Christian move. Not easy, but I think that's a huge move. And learning how to do that takes a lot of faith, patience, and study.
Self-control.
Very much self-control. Very much. Sometimes you're not see the result of your overcoming act. Sometimes God uses us in ways and plans that are bigger than you and I can understand. We're not called to witness the results. We're only called to overcome evil with good. I thought that was pretty interesting. Number four, live peaceably with all men. And women. Sorry, I read that. But it's, I say that tongue in cheek, but you know what I mean. I mean, there's people in our life that we prefer not to be around. Amen.
Amen.
Bring
out the worst in you
sometimes. It's in us, and it's hard to control it sometimes. So I mean, I can talk to that. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, I thought Paul put that in there for just a little bit of help. Live peaceably with all men. It depends on you. All right. Political rivalry has become political animosity. Everybody agree on that? Opponents spit hatred and viral each other like vicious animals. It spills over into the entertainment, the sitcoms, comedians, broadcasters, insult, slander, and belittle those who don't share the views. In our school, words of hate are heard when they never were tolerated before. A lot of truth in that. At universities, disfavored lecturers are shouted off stage. This behavior is exactly opposite of what the New Testament commands. Matthew 5:9 said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Hebrews 12, "Pursue peace with all people, holiness without which no one will see the Lord." Responding to one evil act with another evil act merely escalates the evil. We don't have a total control of these situations when we have done everything in our power to establish and maintain peace, and yet other person is not willing to have peace, then God does not hold us accountable for the lack of peace. But first, we must do everything within our power and the power of Christ within us to live in peace. All right. Number five. So far, we leave ventures to God, learn to plan ahead, lean into the next right move, live peaceably with all men. So here's the ones I'm talking about. These get tougher, I'm telling you. Let good overcome evil. Paul recommended, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire onto his head. Y'all ever hear about what the coals of fire, you know what that means? I had to research that. Because I thought, putting coals of fire on your head. In Egyptian times, for somebody that had something that was bothering them or causing them pain in their life, they would take a clay pot with coals and carry it around their head in public. And yep, figured that one out. I'm still trying to figure that one out, why you would do that. But for some reason, they did. It must have had some meaning to it. But that's where that term, heaping coals of fire on the head, comes from. David Jeremiah says, here's some of the best advice I ever received about responding to evil. When someone strikes out at you to hurt you with an evil act or accusation, don't curse it, don't rehearse it, don't nurse it, but do reverse it. I'll read that again. Don't curse it, don't rehearse it, don't nurse it, but try and do reverse it. Jesus talks about reversing the impact of evil. He said, you heard that it was said that an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other cheek to him. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Peter wrote, not returning evil for evil, reviling for the reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to do this, that you may inherit a blessing. Counselor Jay Adams says, evil is powerful, but good is more powerful. In fact, evil is so powerful that only good has the power to overcome it. Darkness can be driven away only by light. You know, I read something a long time ago, analogy when it talked about, you know, the world without Jesus and the world with Jesus, and you know, evil against good and all that. And it was analogy back towards, there's no such thing as darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. So you can't, darkness is not darkness. It's just the fact that there's no light in the darkness. And I think the same thing goes a lot with this, with the righteousness and the evil. People, I mean, we know this. They're just people in this world that are just evil. They're just evil. And unfortunately,
they're in conflict.
Yeah. I tend to agree with that too. But you know, you look at it in Bartow County alone. How many people do y'all think that's in our jail in Bartow County?
Yes.
Yeah.
6,000.
Anybody else?
1,000.
It's almost 8,000.
8,000?
At any one given time.
We're not that big.
What is it like? 8 floors, 7 floors?
I would have never dreamed it would
have been 5. I've never been in there.
100. Yeah. Unreal. Mm-hmm. A lot of them transient, you know, going back and forth, but it's just a tremendous amount of people.
How many people are in Bartow County?
It's over 300,000. But yeah, but the majority, a lot of people in that jail is not from here. Yeah. Number six, here's the good one. Love your enemy. I told a guy that used to attend this church one time, and he had a very deep hate, I guess. I don't know what word to use, for his ex-wife.
I bet there's
more. And I told him, I said, brother, I'm going to tell you right now, you know, in my opinion, for every gallon of hate that you got inside of you, it takes away the room for 2 gallons of love. And I said, the bad part is you're hating someone that don't even know that you're hating them right now.
That's giving them, control of you too.
Absolutely.
That's exactly right.
It's you that's suffering and the people around you that's suffering. I learned that firsthand.
Firsthand. You got reason, okay?
And that's a hard, hard lesson sometimes. It's a hard lesson. It really is. Love your enemy. The phrase Paul used in Romans 12:20 was, you'll heap coals upon his head, right? And it is. Consider the story of David and King Saul. David was an anointing successor, right? He was there before it. So here's David's words about what happened. He said, look, this is out of 1 Samuel. This day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you. He's talking to Saul, right? Into my hands in a cave, and someone urged me to kill you, but my eyes spared you. And I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord anointed. Moreover, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand. Remember, he cut the corner of Saul's robe off. For that I cut the corner of your robe off did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand. And I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. Saul's response. So it was when David had finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, is this your voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Then he said to David, you are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day that you have dealt with me. When the Lord delivered me to your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, he will let him get away safely. Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good for whatever you have done to me this day. Somebody said the enemy has overcome us when he makes us like himself. There's a lot of truth in that, right? To repay evil for evil has become like Satan. To adopt methods of your own enemy has become the enemy yourself. But to replay good with evil is to become like God. One guy wrote and he says, love, bless, do good, pray. That's how you overcome evil with good. There's no imaginary victory. It's the most revolutionary force in the world. Imagine what our world would be like if we employed this force every single day. He said, here is the essence of it. Overcome evil with good. That is a Christian way. It is unique in a world of vengeful and retaliation. So as we wrap this up, I'd like to read something that again, David Jeremiah wrote. And he says, you and I will never stop encountering evil in this world. It's around us, and it will never, this side of heaven, be totally free from the temptation to do evil ourselves. True. Within us and without us, there is only one power in the world strong enough to overcome evil, and that's the power and the goodness of God. Righteousness is what the goodness of God looks like when we live it out. If we're going to protect our hearts from evil, we must protect them with the righteousness of Christ. Jesus never failed to overcome evil with good in his life, and he gives us the ability to do the same as we walk by his faith. Not having our own righteousness, but that which is through the faith in Christ, the righteousness which is God by faith. As I was studying through this lesson, y'all may have done this sitting here today, my mind was racing on some things that I've done I'm not real proud of sometimes, and some actions I've taken. And to look at that and understand that the only thing that can keep that barrier up between the evil being done to you and you retaliating or doing the evil back, and I say retaliation, that's not always a situation, but you know what I'm talking about, is that having that armor plate of God. And this one's tough, guys. I tell you, this one's a tough one. So I'll stop recording.